Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to moccasin just. Planning a party, they gon' have. Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Good golly, Miss Molly, we're here to rock and roll this evening. You bet. Oh, my gosh. You guys have no idea what kind of a roller coaster ride me and TJ and our family has gone through in the last 7 days. That's right. Just 7 days ago, we hit a tumble, and I'm going to tell you all about it, but there's so much to talk about on our show tonight. If you read the introduction on our Rita board, we've got Bruce from Montana. He's had an ordeal up there. Even Tony, his little baby girl, my sweetheart, I love that girl. She's just so wonderful, Tony. She took a recording. She went out there, out by their house, and did a couple of howls and stuff, and the thing responded back to her. Can you imagine? And he did the same thing. And it responded back to him. We got them on the show tonight. Also has a friend who has seen Bigfoot, been communicating with the creature up there. Doesn't want to talk to many people, but he has a lot of respect for my brother Bruce, and we're hoping that he'll come on tonight too and talk to him. Also got a call from a longtime friend, Chip from Ohio. He's going to be coming on here and telling us his story of what's been going on. Also heard from Jody in North Carolina. She says, Tom, I forgot the most important thing when I was on the show 3 weeks ago. Can I come on now and make sure the people know? Well, if they come on successfully tonight, we'll find out. Got the Giants with us tonight, Steve. We got Chrissy's on the phone with us also tonight. We got so much going on. Now, I want to welcome aboard 14 countries. Count them, folks. 14 countries that's out there right now. New Zealand, Australia, Japan, South Korea, India, Pakistan, Italy, Germany, Sweden, Ireland, the UK, Brazil, of course, us here in the United States and Canada. All 14 countries are listening in tonight to what we've got to say and to all what our guests are going to be telling them. So I feel honored having them listening to us, and welcome aboard, everybody. Before we start getting going with any of our tests, please, I want to do a big prayer out. Rocky, my co-host, my brother, my friend for many, many years, and you all know who he is, the rock star himself, the bear wrestler who defeated one in the ring, goes in for an operation under the knife tomorrow. He has a brain aneurysm, ladies and gentlemen, and they're going in to fix him up, and I told him not to worry. We're all out there praying for him, and he's going to come through with flying colors. So all of you people, when you go to bed tonight and say your prayers, please, please, please. Not only James Brown sang that song, I'm bringing it to you myself. Give a prayer out for our good buddy Rocky, huh? And he'll be on the show next week to tell us how he came through it all and thanking everybody for their beautiful prayers. Now, without any further ado, okay, I want to get up there to Montana, because I want to hear this story live. It's not at Memorex, dude. It's going to be live from my brother Bruce and his daughter Tony, and maybe we'll find out about his friend. That guy's name is Tony also. Good evening. How are you?
Good. Good, Tom. Here's Tony. I'll let her tell you the story.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yeah.
All right, so we got people now. 14 countries are going to listen to your story, including us here at home. You've got the stage. Tell them everything. Start from the beginning. Don't leave nothing out.
Okay. What day was it, Mom?
Last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday. I went for a walk, and I had my two little dogs with me, and they kept barking on top of the hill over by the house. And so I took my headphones off, and, you know, they wanted to take off running, but I called them, and I stopped, and I listened, and I heard a Bigfoot whoop. So,
no,
I heard him.
Oh.
And then he did a Bigfoot whoop, and so I waited a second, and I did one. And then he did it back, and then I did it again. And the first time I didn't record it, but the second time I heard it, so I figured, well, I'll record it. I heard that, and I was scared. I thought, what if he's going to run after me? So I start walking fast home, and I called Dad, and I said, Dad, I just heard a Bigfoot. He was whooping. I recorded it. He said, get home so I can hear it. So I came home, and then I played it over and over and over so he could hear it. And he said, yeah, that's a Bigfoot. He went outside on the porch and did a Bigfoot whoop, and it hollered back at him, so it was around.
Your mom heard it too.
And Mom was out there too. She heard it too. But in the recording, it's like far, far away, but when I heard it, it you know, it was like over the hill.
Well, are we gonna get a chance to hear it?
I mean, you gotta have real good headphones to hear it.
Well, why don't you try to put it by the mouthpiece when you're pressing play?
Okay, let me try it. Hold on.
It's called anticipation, ladies and gentlemen.
She's looking for it. She'll have it in a minute.
When she's looking, tell us what happened with you when you went and looked.
Oh, well, I was watching Tony on the hills out here. She's doing her walk with her dogs. And when she got back, she told me that she made a Bigfoot whoop and it whooped back at her. And so after I heard that, I said, well, I think I'll go out and see if I can make him holler back. And I went out, me and Donna, my wife, and I hollered at him. And he hollered back at me. So that was the story. But I think Tony's got that recording.
All right, let's see if we can hear it.
I don't know. I think you need headphones in your phone or something. Did you get it, Tony?
Yeah, but you have to have headphones.
Well, just let him hear it anyway.
Stick
it right on that phone.
Okay, I don't think you'll be able to hear it, Tom, but I'll try.
Thanks, honey. Tony Wright, you're the best.
No, thank you. You can't hear it. I mean, I could send it to you, Tom, but I don't think you'll be able to hear it. I put it up to the speaker and I couldn't hear it.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Listen, you told us live what happened, and here's a couple of people. Here, Gloria, her last name is Gloria Standish. She's from Montana, by the way. I don't know if you know her. And she says, can you ask Tony, was she afraid, and did she run back home?
Well, yeah, I was scared. I thought, oh, crap, a Bigfoot. And here, Mom and Dad, when I go for my walks, they jokingly say, watch out for Bigfoot now. I was scared. I thought, uh-oh, here comes a Bigfoot after me.
Yeah. Here's another question. David says, Tony, do you live up there where bears are?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so he had a comma. If you know that there's some kind of critters up there, are you armed when you go take a walk?
Huh? What'd you say, Tom?
Okay. I know you're playing with the phone, right?
Dad did that.
Okay. All right. So tell Dad to calm down, okay? David said, when you go out there walking or running, whatever you do, are you armed because of all those wild critters in the area?
No, that's what I got dogs for. I got them trained to attack.
How many dogs do you have?
Well, I have six, but three of them are big, so they know how to fight, too, so I don't have to worry about defending myself.
Or they could go and beat and chew the hell out of them while you run home anyway, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. Tony Ray, thank you so much for sharing that news with us. Why don't you put Dad back on and let's hear his story.
All right, Tom. Thanks for having me.
You have a great night. Kiss Mom for me.
Okay. You know, one night, I told this one before, but one night I went out on the porch and, well, this was, Tony heard a Bigfoot the day before. She went out to take care of the dogs, and she made a Bigfoot whoop. I think that Bigfoot whoop, I think that Bigfoot probably knows her voice or something, and he likes it or something. But he whooped back at her, and she ran in the house real quick, and she was all excited, and she was telling me that Bigfoot was whooping at her, hollering at her. And that was that night. And then a night or two later, I went out on the porch. It was in the evening. Must have been, oh, I don't know, 6 o'clock, something like that. And I was just standing out there, and, oh, I heard that. You know where you took a picture of those tracks at, Tom? Across
yes.
from the house there?
Yes, yes.
That's where he sounded like he was from. He had a big boom and holler, and he hollered along kind of a lengthy holler. And I told Donna, I said, hey, Donna, come out, listen, there's a Bigfoot, he's hollering at us. And so she came out, and she was listening, but that Bigfoot didn't holler back. So I don't know, he just quit hollering at us. But he's probably letting us know that he was around here. And then the other night, the dogs were going plumb nuts. We chain them up in the daytime, so, you know, because they take after bears and everything else. And, you know, they go plumb over the hill, and we don't know where they're at, so we chain them up during the day. And they watch the house, but them dogs went crazy that night. They were in the house. Tony put them back, put them in bed. They got cages in the house, and they's all going crazy. And it was about 11:30, and I got up, and I took my flashlight, and I was outside flashing around in the bushes. That stink smell was coming in the house. It was kind of a smell like a skunk plus other stink smell with it. And them dogs smelt it. And that's what made them go crazy in the house. And so I was out there looking around. I could smell it out there. I couldn't find it. And Donna come out and drug me back in the house. So the next day we went back out there, and that smell was completely gone. It was like it vanished. And I know the smell of a skunk, you know, they have that stinging smell. It stings your eyes and nose and everything. It wasn't that. It was a skunky stink smell. And we started looking. We was looking around out in the brush there. And by George, if we didn't find some footprints in that tall grass. And well, they weren't distinctive because it was too much grass. But you could see the impressions in the grass. And we got pictures of those. But
wow, yeah, you're talking about the footfalls on top, right?
Huh?
You're talking about the falls on that deep grass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was impressions in it, in the dirt, but the grass was on top of the dirt, and you could feel the impressions in the dirt with your hands, you know, with your fingers, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
So let me ask you this. You're just substantiating what happened with Tony, but you're talking about physical actually going out there and doing what you did. And I praise you for it, as you know, my brother. The key to it is, you know what time of the year it is, right?
Yeah.
It is the 18th. It happened on the 11th. It's migration time. They're feeling it in the air, okay? So they're starting to move. And that's what it's all about. And that's a good thing because of two things, actually. We know that they're still migrating. We know that they're... The different times of the year, so they know what the hell they're doing, and they're still coming back to the same areas. That's the key here. That's the key. Now, I wanted to tell everybody, Bruce has a friend. His name is Tony, the book, and Tony has not called in yet, but why don't you tell everybody about Tony's experiences, how we relate them to you.
Okay. Yeah, he said, you know where Bigfoot Alley is? What I call Bigfoot Alley?
Mm-hmm.
You know where Hiram stays? I mean, his old place? Okay, that creek there? All the way down that creek, that's what I call Bigfoot Alley, because that's where they're seen and heard and tracks, and that's where Hiram got that leg from, that leg out of that creek. That's the same spot, but it's across the road from Hiram's and up that little gravel road that goes to a campground. And he was back in there somewhere, and he said he seen Bigfoot tracks. He's got pictures of it, and he said he's got a picture of a Bigfoot looking in the window. I don't know if it was a car or what, but he got a picture of that. And further up the creek there, he said he found a Bigfoot nest, and he said it was about 12 foot long. It was a big, I don't know what it was made out of, but he said it was real big. And he said there were in the front of that, he said there was a hole dug, kind of like a dish or a bowl or something, you know, in the ground there. And that's about what he told me. And I wanted to, you know, he was working at the time I was telling him. I was talking to him, and he said he would call in tonight. I gave him your number and everything, but I don't know what happened. He said he's having car trouble, so he might be working on his car or something, you know. But,
no, I totally get it. Maybe we can get him for next week. You know, maybe he won't have so many problems that we can get him for next week. That would be a great thing, because I'd sure like to hear his story. I really would, you know?
Yeah, I would too. You know, he didn't go into no details or nothing. He just told me about, you know, the things I said. And I'd like to hear his story too.
Fantastic. Okay, so listen, we're going to go to commercial. On the other side of the commercial, we're going to have Chrissy with us. You know, Chrissy, that our good buddy, he's back alive and strong, and he's going to go into the details of, he sent me a picture, ladies and gentlemen, and I was totally shocked. So we're going to find out where he got the picture. He believes that it's the best Bigfoot picture ever taken, ever. So on the other side of this commercial, what we're going to do is we're going to get Chrissy, and he's going to tell us the whole story. On the other side of the commercial, here we go.
1967, my whole life changed.
Ooh.
I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, that last guy that you heard on that little ditty of the commercial is a guy named Mike Sales, one of our greatest friends and team members back there in Texas. Of course, he died. He was the one that got hit in the head by one of these creatures, and he tells about it. You can hear his story and see what he had going on in Bigfoot Lives 2, which was an award-winning film, by the way, along with Bigfoot Lives 1. And we owe, not myself, but we, all of us in the Searching for Bigfoot team, owe him and his wife a lot of gratitude for all the help that we got. But at the same point in time, we put that city of his on the map, believe it or not, even though it's the largest corporate thing for everybody in around this globe, probably has a can of their stuff on their shelf or in their pantry. It's called Campbell's Soup, ladies and gentlemen. And the name of the town, Tom, is?
Paris, Texas.
Paris, Texas. And that leads me into my son, TJ. He's here with us tonight. And, you know, I got to tell you something. I just got a revelation, man. I got an epiphany. That was the place came over to me and said, hey, I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't believe that there was such a creature called Bigfoot until then,
yeah,
when you got crazy and went out in that swamp.
Yeah, yeah. It was that night.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had drove for 2 days to get across down to the stone, and then we pulled into the swamp that night, and, well, a whole bunch of strange stuff happened, you know. We saw a creature, chased a creature, had a guy with us from the newscast, saw the creature, and that was the day that I became a believer and, you know, became part of the team and said, let's go actually really find this thing. Yep.
And I've got to tell you guys, it was the first time I was ever scared of losing one of my sons, because I told him, I said, and everybody's saying the same thing. They're talking on the walkie and they're screaming out at him, what the hell are you doing? You know, it's so deep out there. You're in his territory while this creature is still, well, tell the story how when you were out there, you were into your knees, right?
Well, yeah, it was, you know, I ran out into the swamp because you guys were looking on that heat seeker, and I decided that, well, I'm going to run out there and I'm going to put an end to this nonsense and bullshit, because, you know, I thought it was just some guy out there fucking with you. And I I think I grabbed the flashlight from you and started running out towards it. And you guys were yelling at me, and I wasn't buying that. And I got closer and closer and closer, and I was wondering why this guy, who I thought was in a monkey suit out there, wasn't running away from me. That was kind of strange. And as I got closer, walking through that muck up to my knees, I think I stopped around, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 feet before where I knew it was, and there was this big old bush, or some reeds, it was some reeds, and it stood up in front of those reeds and just kind of stared at me a little bit. I stared back at it, and I thought to myself, okay, this ain't no guy in no monkey suit, because he's not running, and here I'm thinking to myself, Jesus Christ, I'm a dumbass. I'm in front of a wild animal, and all I've got is a flashlight. Well, this thing kind of bent down behind the reeds, and that's when I said, oh, I'm a done. I'm a goner. I'm done. And it actually stood back up again. Kind of just looked at me really weird, kind of like, are you stupid or something? You know, just a weird kind of a look. You know, the moon was in my back and facing on him, and it just kind of turned around and walked away. And I just went and kind of caught my breath and went, okay, there's something to this. And I had to walk back and eat some crow. So I did.
Thanks for sharing that story, TJ. Ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't say that many times, but he did, and he also said it in the movie. I believe it was in Bigfoot Lives, right? Or Boy,
yeah.
Bigfoot Lives 2 also. You could have reiterated it. But it was a big time of in our lives because that's the time that he devoted his life to come out and travel with me on the road. And, of course, there was a lot of great moments and a lot of bad moments because there's a lot of crazies out there, as we all know. But as promised, on the other side of this commercial, I told you we're going to bring Chris on. And Chris has been like a co-host for us. He's been contributing a lot of stories, so many, and he's part of our team. So without any further ado, we're going to bring Chris on now. And at the same point in time, he's going to tell you about this picture. They're very, very intriguing as hell. So why don't you tell us about those pictures you sent us? And welcome aboard.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back. I'm glad you're back, Tom. So I was just, you know, I go through hours and hours. I have to put it down at times, you know, because I have to take a break, you know. It depends on the day. Some days I can't even look at some of the stuff because the PTSD comes back. You know, it just depends. You know, if I had a good night's sleep, I can, you know, I tell myself to put it down, then I find myself compelled to go back in, you know, kind of like Polly says, you know, just when I thought it was safe to get out, you know, they pull me back in. And this curiosity, fascination, this trauma all mixed up in one, pulls me back in to try and make I've got over 1,000 hours logged into researching, and I know quite a bit, but on the other end of the coin, I know nothing. So I continue to look, and you know, just like all of us, I continue to research. And I found these images on a YouTube video. It was just a quick snippet. Somebody on, I think it was out there in West Virginia, or I know it was on the East Coast, he had some weird stuff going on his property, so he set up a bunch of game cams, and he went to check them, and he got some images on one of his game cams of two of these creatures that had walked by. And I've not seen anything more clear, more definitive than these images. So, you know, the only thing I have a problem with is looking at the butt crack. It's not well defined to the point where I really want to put all of my, you know, eggs in that basket. But on the other end, I still haven't seen anything like this. You know, it's two creatures, one after the other, walk by. And
wait a minute,
if it is,
excuse me, hold on, time out. I want you to know something. How are we to tell if that's not a real butt or a fake butt, because nobody has ever really caught one yet. All the pictures and photos that we've seen, at least I have, okay, have never seen one that shows its ass like this picture does. But I'm going to put a little buzz in your ear, son. You go look at chimpanzees. Those asses that's on chimpanzees are the same asses that you're going to see on these things, on a version of a chimpanzee. It has that same look. Now, I don't know if it was Photoshopped. I'm not into any of that crap. You told me that this looks like one of the most real things that you've ever seen. I agree with you, okay? And when you look at the ass part, you're going to say, wow, dude, you know? And I understand that, too. But then I recollected, whether it been an orangutan or a species of a chimpanzee had the same ass as that one did, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to check that out. Now, have you tried to locate the person whose cameras those things came from?
Yeah, I sent out just a message on the comments. You know, I haven't heard anything back. One thing I can say is, if it is, you know, if it is a person in either one of these individuals, they are different, because these images, if they were to be a human, they're so anatomically wrong. If you look at the shoulders, the arms, the way the torso, they're anatomically for the most part wrong for a human being in a suit. And I agree with you, you know, the chimpanzees, they don't have a butt, you know, they really don't. And like I said, you know, it just anatomically, it doesn't look like a person in a suit, you know. And for this to come up on somebody's, you know, game cam on their thermal images, it really looks like the genuine article for me. Get more details, I'll let you know, you know, if I can dig more up, you know.
So what I'd like for you to do, Chris, is I'd like for you to send out a message to that person. If you got it, that means everybody else in the world got it, and there's a place sure on that site where you can respond to it. And you tell them that you're part of my show, and we'd love to have them on our show next week, and we'd like to talk about it. And I'll put that picture on our website where the world can see it. And I talked about 14 countries are listening to us right now as we speak. And I'm sure they'd love to see it too. But the only way I'll do it is if you get a hold of them. You say it was a woman or a man?
It was a guy, yeah.
A guy, man. Okay. So have them, you know, I give them my number. I'll talk to him. I'll bring him on, and we'll give him all the respect that's due in the industry. Okay?
Yeah, I will put that out there for sure.
So here's the big thing that people don't understand. The ones that don't want to be, that don't respond, that's a big bullseye and a big red X.
Yeah.
It's because they know it's bullshit. Okay? It's called a prank, ladies and gentlemen. PRANK. They're just pranking everybody out there. And now they can have bragging rights and say, oh, boy, we just pulled one over on the Bigfoot world. Isn't this great? Okay? And so now we're calling him out. If you're the real fucking deal, Tom Biscardi wants to talk to you next week on our show, and we'll give you your due. It's that simple. Okay?
Yeah.
It's that simple. Now, if you're real, you'll come on. If you're phony like all the rest of these people in this industry, save yourself the time and effort, and save us our time. Appreciate it. Okay?
Yeah.
And then we'll just
Why go through all the effort?
That's right. That's right. Well, okay? It's just like, you know, the his last name was Brown. What was the Turtle Man? Remember?
Yeah.
You knew him. You know, I got his address. I wrote to him. Now I go to find – everybody thought he was dead, the Turtle Man. He got married. So he's been whooped. So now he just, you know, unless you got money to talk to him, he doesn't want to talk to nobody, okay? Because he thinks he's a commodity now, and he's got something to sell. Well, the last time I looked at the guy, I heard him whooping and wailing, and he was missing a few teeth, and he had a knife in his hand like he's Daniel Boone or something like that. And he didn't impress me. To me, that's a total moron. I'll tell you why. And I hope you're listening, Mr. Brown, because I challenge you, you fucking moron, okay? When somebody doesn't return a call, doesn't return a text, doesn't return an email, there's something wrong with them. At least you come out and tell me you got PTSD. Half the fucking world's got that. But this guy here is just pussy whipped, that's all. Excuse me, kids, if you're listening out there. Don't mean to talk like that, but my feathers have been ruffled tonight when I think about this crap with all these phony SOBs. Try to clean it up for you guys. But no, it's the truth, Chris. I get tired of it, man. It's just like my son. He gets so fed up, he doesn't want to talk to anybody no more because they don't know. They just don't know. You understand? You know, they don't have boots on the ground. All they do is steal from us. Just like these other people that got these shows, where do you think they got the locations from? Us. That's a fact. Goddamn giant on. He'll tell you the truth. Steve, tell him the truth. Are you on the phone, Steve?
Yeah, if you ain't got the gonads to come on to the show and tell your story, you're just another person out there sitting behind a computer making BS up.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, this was the guy that was on the trip that we took all the way back to the mountains of New York, okay, Novi York, with a bunch of other misfits that went along with us, in which we got duped out of a bunch of money. Do you remember that?
I sure do. It was me, you, crazy guy with a shotgun I sure as hell wouldn't walk in front of, Tim. And anyhow, we were promised, what was it, 250 plus, you were promised 5,000 plus 15,000 plus some other money on top of it. You never even got it.
All a bunch of bullshit. And Chico was with us.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, Chico's having a big celebration on the 28th of this month. It's a week from this Saturday at the American Legion, celebrating his life. He says, I want to celebrate and have a party while I'm alive, not when I'm dead. I says, you know what, Chico? That's
cool.
The way to come along.
Yep. I love that man. He was comical as hell.
Yeah, 94 years young. So, you know, I'm just, you know, when I think about these guys that have milked the industry, you know, who's the guy that, I love this guy. He was there with the fast boat and shoot guns and, he was down there in the swamps, Chris. What do they call him? The swamp guy or something? Chris, are you there? Maybe have to do a potty break or something. Do you remember him, Steve? Steve, are you there? Well, ain't this something?
Yeah, I'm here. She wants me to open up a damn thing of biscuits. Which one was this? The only guy I knew that were when we were up at that stupid wooded area, was creepy as hell in there, was Tim with that damn gun, and everybody kept saying, don't walk in front of him. And I had this eerie feeling about him shooting me in the back with that damn thing.
No, yeah. So who was the guy down there in the swamps that had that fast boat and he running in? He used to collect logs for money.
Oh, him, I don't know. I can't even remember his name.
Chris, do you remember his name? Was he the swamp guy or something?
Swamp man?
Was it swamp man? Do you remember? Nobody can remember.
I think it was.
See how, well, they all, it's all called flash in the pan. And then I love the other guy with the alligators. Shoot him, shoot him, shoot him.
Oh, that, oh, shit. That was on, what was it? Oh, that TV show. What the hell was the name of that damn thing?
It ran forever.
He kept saying something about, shoot him, Lucy, shoot him. Or something like that.
Great. Him and his family were involved. They made a lot of money, those guys. I'm very proud of them all, every one of them. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting here ranting and raving about all this crap, and the reason for it is it's bringing back bad memories. So what we need to do is talk about good memories, okay, and good things. I don't know what happened to Chris. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, what'd you do, take a body break?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, TJ says he can smell it all the way here.
What were you going to, what was the question?
The question was, who's the guy out in the swamp that used to go fast in his boat and collect logs for money and shoot guns all over and go for
I had him on my, you know, friends on the Facebook for a long time. That's Shelby Stenga.
Shelby.
He was down out of Louisiana, I believe.
Yeah, he used to bite the heads off of water moccasins and stuff. What was his his name? Is the show, the name of the show?
That was Swamp Loggers. I think it was Swamp Loggers or it's been a while.
People.
Yeah. I know that there's a Swamp People. They're the ones that are into getting the alligators, but what was the name of the Shelby show? It was I think it was Swamp Loggers or something.
No. It was something that's
It's been a while. Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind. By the way, is that show still on about Oak Island?
Yeah.
I still see stuff come up on YouTube about it.
Oh, they call it, he was the Swamp Man. The Legend of Shelby, the Swamp Man.
Yeah,
he was, I love that guy because it was real. Nobody can, you know, he didn't give a shit about the money. He just wanted to go out and see what he's doing. I wonder how old he is. He's still out there being crazy.
Yeah, he's a firecracker, all right.
Oh, my God. Listen to this. TJ is so smart. Axeman, you are of the familiar with Shelby Swamp Man Stanger, who has been part of the show's cast for several seasons. Now they'll get to learn about the legend of Stanger, a larger-than-life character in southern Louisiana. While most people think of a swamp man as dangerous place full of critters and mud, Stanger calls the swamp home. But when his houseboat is wrecked in Hurricane Isaac, all that he has left is his faithful canine champion, Willie. This series follows Stanger as he heads out for the larger world in search of a new houseboat and works odd jobs to earn money to buy a home. Heading into the city forces him to ride in a car, which he has seldom done, and use an escalator for the first time. I don't know where this is and where it's playing, but I'm going to, my son is here, so he knows how to get into all that crap. So it has an episode guide and everything. This came out 10 years ago? Oh, my God, really? Let's see if he's alive. X the phone if he's alive. I'm curious about this guy. Because here he is. He didn't care about the money or anything. And Hurricane Isaac dumped him pretty damn good. Huh? He's in prison?
He's busted for murder.
He murdered somebody?
Oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh. Well, folks, you heard it first on us. Whether it's propaganda bullshit, it's on the web. So if any of you guys are listening,
murder of a neighbor's tree.
He murdered a neighbor's tree?
Hold on.
What's his real name?
Jack
Shelby Stanger. Any of you guys listening, see if he's in jail or in prison or if he's alive or dead. I'm curious, how old is he? Let's see what it says about that. You know what? I'm thrilled, okay, that we're bringing up the whole shows, folks. We just touched on Oak Island. Did they ever find anything out there, guys? No.
Actually, they're still digging. I've been in contact with Rick, and because I've spoken to him a few times, and he's a really hard person to get a hold of because he's constantly in this Oak Island thing. And so far, they've been finding a little bit of gold, a little bit of coin, and everything else.
They have?
Yeah.
Did they say how far it was dated back?
One coin was dated back around 1300, and then there was another one that they found that was dated back around 12.
Wow. Yeah, so, and here it is, look at the year, and we're still talking about it. Because I heard one of the producers got into it so wild that they just kept renewing, and God knows it's been on forever. How many years? I mean, 13, 14, well, at least 9 or 10 seasons, hasn't it? For 10 years.
Yeah, it's been around 9 seasons, almost 10 years. And on top of that, Rick has been doing some out-of-treasure hunting now, not just one place as Oak Island. Now he's venturing outside of Oak Island, like around the United States and a lot of other parts of the country looking for lost treasures. They're working on one right now, something to do with the lost treasures of the Nazis.
Ooh, that's intriguing as hell. I know that he did the other thing about that lost train that fell off into some river or some deep place, and they got hoaxed. So we're not the only one that's been hoaxed, ladies and gentlemen. They had you going, and there was these brick-like things looking like, and had gold foil on them till the next season. And the next season came, and the weather was just conducive enough, and the skin divers went down, and they found out, oh, it's just nothing but a bunch of bricks that were in gold-colored foil. And that's when I got turned off, and I said, why am I wasting my time?
Well, that's like the treasure story that I sent you up here in outside of, Cibola, Arizona. I went back up there to that cave. What I thought was a cave wasn't a cave. It was nothing more than an indentation. But what got to me was you could see the markings. You could see the cross. You could see the Spanish. Everything was there except for the cave. So I'm sitting back, and I'm looking on Google Maps about the Lost Summit. That's what it's called. And it says, according to history, it was 15 miles south of Ehrenberg. Well, 15 miles south of Ehrenberg puts it just right outside of Cibola, Arizona. And there's a place you can't go to it. You can't drive to it. The bad part about this is it's on federal land, and I in no way in hell am going to walk on federal Native American land and get shot. Hell no.
I totally understand that. I totally agree. I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's a couple of people I want to do a shout-out real quick to. Number one is Elena up there in Sonoma. Forgive me, Elena. I was going to talk about you earlier at the beginning of the show, but better late than ever. I want to thank you for who you are and what you're going through and about our good friend Bear. And hopefully we'll all get together and we'll find a good home for Bear. Also want to say hello to Sonny out there in San Francisco. And Sonny, we hope that we can meet also about your situation. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell you, this has been going down old family road time. You know, we're sitting here talking about all these other shows and what's transpired. And you know what? I think what we should do, Chris, which I think is a good idea, is take the top shows that were there and that were out, you know, and let's do, where are they today? Where are they today? okay? And are they still amicable? And are their lives, how have they changed? Have they become that they're the hoity-toity and they put their noses up about everybody else and say, hey, we don't talk to people like you unless you've got money? Or they're just the same old Joe and they never changed. That's the kind of people I like, ladies and gentlemen. Those are the kind of people that you want to be around. And I've been around for 75 years. I hope I'm around for at least another 5. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to change in any way. 2 reasons. Because I got a brother up there in Montana. He's Bruce. He's a God-fearing man. He's a good Christian, him and his family. I love him. And he knows the truth because he and I, am I 2 weeks older than you or younger than you, Bruce?
I think you're a month or so older than me.
Oh, so you better be.
Yeah, we're the same age.
Yeah. You know, my brother Bruce was telling me before the show, because Big Blue is not with me right now. He's in Nevada. Big Blue threw a shoe, as Tommy said, TJ. Who knew that they were going to have a UAW strike when it comes to parts? And the earliest will be 30 to 45 days for Big Blue to be back driving like new. And I've been going through that like crazy. And then we got another burglary done at our place. And so it's been one tread, you know. I haven't told you about that yet, Chris. But we did take precautions, and I did get new systems put in all the way around. So it detoured them. So they never actually got in, Chris. And that's a big thing for us. Well, I'll talk to you personally on that. But I want to thank all of you guys. My goodness gracious alive. It's been so wonderful to have all of you back. We're going to be back with a vengeance next week on the 25th. And hopefully Chris will have that ready to go, ready and ready to go, and have it all happen. And all the countries out there, the 14 countries that are listening in tonight, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, from my crew's hearts. For us to be the longest-running Bigfoot show ever, it's because of people like you and the people that you're listening to right here. And I want to personally thank my brother Bruce, Chris, Steve, and all the other listeners that have been so faithful to us through all these years. And I want to thank you for me, for TJ, for the Swede, and of course that big thing that's happening with our good buddy Rocky for tomorrow. Please put him in your prayers tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.